hearts are stirred. Alleluia, Lord, we bring the good news that you bring. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, all his possessions, payment to be made. So the slave fell at his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of the slave released him, forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down, pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. And then his lord summoned him and said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Forgiveness. Literally, in the text from our gospel reading today, it means something like setting free or sending away. But what is forgiveness? What does it look like? Theologian Lewis Smead says, forgiveness is relinquishing my right to get even. It's not eliminating all the consequences of the evil that has been committed, but it is giving up my right to hurt you because you hurt me. Now, I agree with that definition, but I would add that forgiveness relates to the party who has been offended, to the one who has been sinned against. When I forgive someone, it is irrelevant whether they have said I'm sorry or not. The forgiveness I offer is about me, my relationship both with God and to them, to the one who has harmed me. Author Frederick Buechner reminds us that forgiveness is an act of radical self-interest. He writes, we punish ourselves by carrying around our grief and anger when we do not forgive others. By forgiving another, I have freed myself from that which could ultimately destroy me. ELCA Bishop Michael Reinhart puts it this way, this kind of forgiveness means choosing not to hold hatred in our hearts. We may be so wounded we have trouble letting go. Forgiveness means choosing not to relentlessly harbor anger. People need to be held accountable, but vengeance and retaliation are off the table. Forgiveness means I'm not going to let the wrong and abuse define me. I will not let it keep me from living into a hopeful and joy-filled future. I choose not to carry around the heavy anchors of anger, bitterness, resentment, or hate. I choose to live into the future, in spite of the scars of the past. I'm sure that some of us know people in our own lives, have encountered people who have been bound by that anger, that desire for vengeance, bitterness, resentment, and who have remained in its grip for their entire lives because they cannot forgive. Now, the obverse of forgiveness is repentance and confession. When someone has done a wrong, they see what they have done, they turn from that, admit what they have done to the person who they have wronged, and they apologize for it. And there too, that is about them. Releasing them from the guilt and harm, the denial that carrying that offense will bring them. Now, when forgiveness and confession and repentance meet, that's reconciliation. And that's God's desire for us, for all human beings, a restoration of relationship. But it's a difficult thing to achieve. In fact, this whole forgiveness thing is hard, isn't it? It's very hard. Often the closest we seem to get to forgiveness is we tuck away someone's offense in our hip pocket until such time as they do something else really bad to us, and then we pull it out of the pocket and we beat them over the head with it again. Forgiveness is hard because it calls us to something that feels in some ways wrong to us. It's easier, and in many immediate ways, much more satisfying to lash out, to hold on to our anger, to go for vengeance. They deserve it for what they did to me. Now, you can't not feel those feelings. You feel what you feel. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Forgiveness is hard because we also have to deal with God's justice. Bishop Mike Reinhart reminds us, forgiveness does not mean we allow destructive things to happen or continue. It does not mean discarding healthy boundaries. Forgiveness does not mean we're going to be best friends now. Forgiving an abusive ex doesn't mean you have to marry him or her again. Forgiving an abusive person does not mean you keep putting yourself into that dysfunctional arena where the abuse takes place. Let me be clear. If you are in an abusive relationship of whatever kind, it is not okay and you need to leave to be safe. That kind of behavior is doing immeasurable harm to you and to the one who is abusing you. And for each of your sakes, I would say, leave that situation now. Get to a safe place. And if you are abusing someone, however that might be, stop. That is doing harm to both you and to them, to the image of God that resides in both of you. Forgiveness does not mean there will not be consequences for your actions. Especially in this left-hand reign of the world where laws are broken. Or even in the right-hand reign of heaven where boundaries are set to keep people safe. Forgiveness is about relationship. It's not about consequences. It keeps us rightly oriented to others and to God. But it doesn't mean I need to be in relationship with someone. While that reconciliation is God's desire for us, it is hard. And sometimes this side of that great getting up day of Christ coming again, it seems impossible. My wife Karen, my stepdaughter Amanda, my daughter-in-law Nikki, when they gave their victim impact statement at the sentencing of the man convicted of killing my stepson, Eric, while driving drunk, all of them, in one form or another, forgave him. They let go of their personal desire for vengeance, even while acknowledging there are consequences for this action. And he, in turn, gave what I believe to be a sincere apology and confession and turning from what happened, a promise to change his ways. And despite both those things happening, I can guarantee you there will not be a relationship there. But, and it's understandable, right? But the orientation of each of them to each other is different when they have been released from that. And perhaps when Jesus comes again, that restoration can happen. Forgiveness is hard. Particularly because here in the U.S. we have this strong mythology around vengeance, don't we? Lots of stories for it. Makes for good theater. You have John Wick and his dog, the Western cowboy like Ethan from The Searchers, Maximus and Gladiator. Characters that we lift up and admire. A way of responding that is modeled to us, particularly as males, as one that is admirable, even expected. But even in those fictional stories, if you take a closer look at those lives that have been bound by their desire for revenge, cutting them off from love, mercy, grace, from life fuller and more abundant. A life bound to the acts that were perpetuated on them. And at the end, what do they have when their vengeance is done? The perpetrators invariably in the movies are dead. But they would have died anyway. And still, their dog and wife are dead. Their niece is home, but their relationships with their family and friends ruined. And at the end of the day, nothing has changed but them. The parable Jesus uses here is so hyperbolic in its details that it is obviously meant to make a particular point. One that opens our eyes to see ourselves and God and each other anew. Now, the debt owed by the slave is incredibly large. Think $1 billion. How would the king even have that much money, and why would he loan it to this guy anyway, right? So even the forgiveness of the king is incredibly generous. Even though, according to the standards of the day, that king had every right to do what he was doing. The response of the forgiven slave to his debtor, again, is right in accordance with the standards of the day, but it's over roughly 3 to 4 months' wages. Think about $5,000 at minimum wage. You have been forgiven $1 billion, and you're going to throw that guy in jail over $5,000. The king's point is this. If I forgive you this huge debt, isn't it incumbent upon you to forgive something so trifling by comparison? To spread to others what you have first received. That's the reign of heaven. That's trickle-down economy I can get behind. It has come to you and you pass it along to others. Do you hear the Lord's prayer in this parable at all? I do. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Anybody else in their head when you pray that go, oh dear God, no. Please be better at it than I am. Yeah? Every time I pray that, that's that other little voice that I'm praying in my head. Because I don't. Not in the way I ought. See, both this parable and that prayer seek to open our eyes to the enormity of what God has forgiven and continues to forgive us through Jesus Christ daily. And this parable and that prayer rightly roots our forgiveness to others in God's mercy and love and forgiveness. If God has forgiven us so much, couldn't we forgive someone else of something so much less? For our sake as well as for theirs. Because we know what God's forgiveness has meant to us. What would the world look like? What would the world look like if we lived out this kind of forgiveness, not just within these walls, but everywhere, with everyone, always? Can you imagine that? Just stop for a second and imagine what the world would be like. Step into that divine imagination. What would the world be like if we offered that forgiveness to one another? Everywhere, always. Because forgiveness frees us from ties we didn't even know had bound us. It restores us as those who forgive, but can also free the one who is forgiven. Forgiveness also creates possibilities, doesn't it? A future, something new. Forgiveness is rooted in the desire for life. And that's what God is about, life. Not death. Hope. Not despair. And like the process of resolving conflicts that we talked about last week, forgiveness always orients us into relationship to others. Because we're in this together, aren't we? All of us. Because while forgiveness is an individual thing, it does affect the community. Kind of like last week when we were talking about conflicts, right? Yeah, that beef may be between the two of you, but it can spread and affect everybody. And communal forgiveness, letting go, can also be transformative. When a community as a whole does that for another community. Peter thought that he was being generous in his offer to forgive seven times. Rabbis had agreed that the number of times you needed to forgive was three. So Peter, I think he's kind of showing off a little bit again. I'm going to forgive seven times, right? But Jesus shows him how limited his imagination really is. How small this generosity is. As the Reverend Dr. David Lose puts it, maybe in hearing once again of God's forgiveness, our gaze will be lifted up from the constant keeping of scores that preoccupies us to see God's open hand of blessing. No guarantee, of course, but just the promise of grace and recognition that the ability to forgive is ultimately just as much a gift as being forgiven is. That the ability to forgive is just as much a gift as being forgiven is. And fortunately, he reminds us we worship God who absolutely loves to give us incredible gifts. Friends, forgiveness is hard, but it is oh so worth it. Come to this table and receive the body and blood of the one who forgives you all your sins. Today, tomorrow, and always. Jesus Christ. And then be strengthened to go into the world and do likewise. So that all might have life fuller and more abundant. Thanks be to God.